Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have a very scary, very spiritual episode this week, just for your viciously thirsty ears. But before we get to the story, I want to take a moment to thank you for listening and to ask you to please make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting app. And while you're there, maybe give us a star rating, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else. It helps new people find the show, and I appreciate it so very much. Plus, it costs you nothing. If you want to support us even more so, and don't mind dropping a buck or two, please head to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. Patreon is the way to support the show. And in exchange for your dollar or more a month, you get a bonus episode of Weekly Spooky, along with several other perks available to you every single month. And I want to say a huge thank you to all of you who have been joining up on Patreon and helping us make it a great success. We're at 85 backers. Could you help us get to 100? I'd really appreciate it. But now, my friends, it's time to get to the story because it's hot outside, which means we need to be chilled. And this story is very chilling, very telling, because as they always say, out of the mouths of babes comes the truth we don't want to face. So kick back, get comfortable. It's time for the story. Heart of Stone, Heart of Fire by Joe Salmo. At the time of day when most kids were excited, Cody sighed. The glass-paneled steel door leading home from school was right in front of him. First, he watched Jessica and Brian leave without a problem, and jealousy crept in. Jason and Eddie left next, passing him almost like he didn't exist. He felt alone. Of course, he wasn't alone. He would have preferred to be. He knew as soon as he exited that door, he would hear his voice. Aiden Firehead. At least, that's what he called him in his thoughts. He would never dare say it out loud. Aiden, real last name Fitzgerald, wasn't a large boy. In fact, he was several inches shorter than Cody. The main difference between the two was that Aiden was mean. Sometime last semester, he drew the ire of Aiden. He remembered it like it was yesterday. Coming back from lunch, he stopped at his locker to grab his geometry book and accidentally bumped into his future bully. Literally. He apologized, but Aiden wouldn't hear it and pushed him down onto the cold tile hallway floor. "Do it again, and I'll really hurt you," Aiden told him that day. Cody was more confused by Aiden's reaction than upset, thinking it was just an isolated incident. After all, he didn't do it on purpose. Aiden's anger didn't just boil away, however, it simmered behind those cold blue eyes. Every day after that, Aiden tried to make Cody's life miserable. Some days he was able to avoid the bully. He even spent most of a week Aiden-free by getting detention, just to have to stay late. But that just got him in trouble at home, as well as school. Cody's eyes perked up when he saw her walk in the door. Finally, he could go home. Abby had come to pick him up. She peered in the door until she spotted him standing there. She motioned him to come, but he hesitated, fear still keeping him in place. He saw her shoulders sag. He felt bad, but he couldn't move. Abby entered the middle school, her black skirt swirling around her. Cody didn't understand why she wore black all the time. He thought that was mostly for funerals, but being the oldest kid that he knew at 16, she was his only hope in getting home safe. "Come on, Cody. I gotta get you home before Brad shows up to pick me up. Why did I have to walk you home anyway?" his stepsister asked. Cody looked down at his arm. The scrapes from this morning had begun to scab over. He wondered if his arms would be scarred by the end of the year. "Got nothing to say? Okay, let's go. Mom said you've been misbehaving recently, getting detention all the time. Wait until high school for that. If you think middle school is bad, you got a lot to learn," Abby said as she opened the door leading to the outside world. Cody peeked out the door cautiously before exiting. He didn't see Aiden anywhere and began to relax. He looked up at his stepsister. A year ago, she was a stranger, but since moving into his home, she seemed even stranger to him. Always wearing black, listening to sad or angry music all the time, painting lips and nails to match her clothes. He had asked her if she was mourning her father still, which only made her mad. It took weeks before she even spoke to him again. "Where are you going?" came a voice from behind Cody. His blood froze, and he closed his eyes tight. His legs stopped working, and he was horrified to see Abby hadn't noticed. "Keep up, Cody," she said, and turned back to him. She saw him standing there with his eyes closed and another kid standing behind him on the walkway. "You have an appointment, Mr. Piney," Aiden said, pushing his unkempt red hair out of his eyes. Abby watched as Cody just stood there. She looked up at the kid behind him, then back at her new stepbrother. "This kid bothering you, Cody?" Cody opened his eyes. It took some effort. He turned around towards Aiden as if in a slow motion scene from an action movie. "If you miss your appointment, we'll have to reschedule two appointments for tomorrow," Aiden said and looked towards the building. Just off the walkway was a 6-foot pine tree. Its prickly green leaves were broken in sections. Cody looked down at the scratches on his arms. He knew all too well how much those branches hurt when someone was pushed into them. "Cody, let's go," Abby said and grabbed his hand. It seemed to snap him out of it. He followed her towards the street. "You've made your choice," Aiden called from behind him. Cody winced from the threat, but didn't look back. His plan worked. Having his new sis pick him up saved him from his appointment with the tree. He dared to smile as he crossed the street, the first one he had in weeks. He didn't give a thought to Aiden's threat as he arrived home. "I gotta go. Brad is here to pick me up. We'll talk later, okay?" Abby told him. She left in a flurry of black. He let out a sigh and raided the kitchen for a snack, finding a half a bag of cookies in the back of the cabinet. He bit into one slowly, probing for information to its staleness, but was pleasantly surprised. He took the bag to his room where his tablet awaited to immerse him in the world of video games and out of this reality. It wasn't long before he heard his new mother come home. She wasn't a bad person at all. In fact, he had nothing negative to say about her. She was very nice to him. She seemed to make his father happy as well. He knew nothing of his real mother, only that she left when he was still in diapers. She told him he didn't have to call her mom if he didn't want to, but deep down inside, he wanted someone to call mom. After a few weeks, he started to call her mom, to try it out, and he liked the way it felt. "Hi, mom," he said as she entered his room to check on him. "Hi, Cody. How was school today? Have any homework?" she asked, sitting on the edge of his bed. "Nothing today. School is okay, I guess. In science, we learned about different kinds of rocks. One of them must be real smart. It was called a genius rock or something," he replied. "How exciting. What happened to your arm?" she asked with concern in her voice. Oh, that was nothing. I fell in gym class, he lied. It doesn't look life-threatening, she said with a smile. I recommend a bowl of ice cream after dinner. I picked up some chocolate chip cookie dough. Your favorite, she said with a smile. Thanks. Do you prescribe ice cream to all your patients at the hospital? Cody asked her, looking up from his tablet for the first time this conversation. Only when they look like they had a rough day, she responded. Sometimes it works better than the pills they get prescribed. I'll let you know when dinner is ready, and I hope you aren't lying about that homework. I swear, he said. A moment later, she left the room. He paused his game for a moment. A guilty look towards his backpack made him consider doing his homework, but he just didn't feel like it. He would do it in the morning, during homeroom. Dinner came and went, and soon Cody was back in his room. He wasn't alone for long, though. Abby knocked on his open door only a few minutes after he returned to his room. Hey, can we talk, kiddo? She asked. I guess so, Cody responded, shutting down his tablet and plugging it in. About earlier, that redheaded kid, has he been bullying you? Is that why you've been acting up in school? Abby asked. She walked into the room. Cody darted past her and closed the door. He turned towards his stepsister. Shh, not so loud, he said in a whisper. Aiden has been a pain in my butt for months. I just bumped into him once. I apologized, but he's made my life miserable ever since. He's just a butt. There are all types of people in the world. Some are brains, some are brawn, and some are just butts. The only contribution a butt makes is, well, you know, awfully stinky, Abby said and smiled. She sat on the end of his bed. He definitely is, Cody replied. A big old turd. Okay, let's not get carried away. You should probably tell your dad what's going on. He could talk to that kid's father or the principal at school. Did I ever tell you about the time I was bullied a few years ago? Abby inquired. I think this is the most we've ever talked, actually, Cody said. What's wrong with your arm? He asked, looking at the bandage that wasn't there before. Oh, this? It's nothing, she said. Forget about it. Did Brad bully you? Cody asked. Oh, God, no, she said and laughed so hard she snorted. Can I trust you to keep a secret, kiddo? She asked in an even quieter whisper than the one they were already talking in. Sure, if you keep mine about Aiden, he replied. You know, you're too smart for your own good. All right, I'll show you. Remember, you promised me, she said and started to peel back the edge of the bandage on her arm. Cody grew wide-eyed, wondering what kind of gory scene he was in store for. He thought about all those movies he snuck out of his room at night to watch on TV. A tattoo? He exclaimed when she revealed what was behind the bandage. How are you going to hide that? Well, I figured once it was all healed up, there really isn't anything they can do about it, so at that point I would just show them and they will yell, but that'll be the end of it, she explained. Why the cat? He asked. It's a special cat. It was my cat before we moved here. With all the movers going in and out, she ran away and we never found her. I used to go back there a few times a week, but I never found her. It's to remember her by, Abby told him. It doesn't matter how long you wait. They will freak, Cody said, thinking of his dad and new mother. Just remember, you promised to keep my secret, and I'll keep yours, she pointed a finger at him. I know, so tell me about the time you got bullied, he asked her. The next day, Cody was in a good mood on his walk to school. He even caught himself whistling as he made his way along Main Street. He talked to his new sis for quite some time, and she explained to him all about bullies, that they were cowards at heart, and 9 times out of 10, if you stood up to one, they would back down. That last part he kept replaying over and over in his head. He had a plan on what he was going to do this morning. Then there should be no more Aiden problems. He crossed the street to the school and started up the walkway towards where he had last seen Aiden and Mr. Piney. He rounded the corner and saw the tree out of the corner of his eye. He was almost disappointed he didn't see Aiden, because he was prepared this time. Where are you going? Came a voice from behind the tree. Cody swallowed hard. He turned towards the bully, trying to look tough. I'm going to homeroom. Not that it's any of your business, he said defiantly. Not yet, you're not, Aiden said and approached him. He grabbed a hold of Cody's backpack straps and swung him towards the tree. It happened too fast for Cody to do anything, and before he knew it, his feet left the ground and he fell into the prickly pine tree. He felt the branches scrape against his bare skin as he heard Aiden laugh. Determined not to give up, Cody crawled out of the tree and brushed himself off as best he could. "You touch me again, and you're gonna get it," Cody said, glaring a hole in Aiden. "You're a funny one today," the bully said and approached him, reaching for his bag straps once again. "Okay, Cody," he thought to himself. "Now is the time." Cody swung as hard as he could. Aiden easily deflected the punch and laughed again. While he was distracted, Cody went for his weak spot with a kick to the groin. This connected, and Aiden let go of him to instinctively cover something else, even though it was too late. Cody felt a rush. It was working. The plan was working. He was going to hug his stepsister when they got home tonight and tell her how her advice about bullies being cowards helped him. Then, Aiden stood up. A snarl crossed his face. And was that fire in his eyes? "You made a big mistake," the bully said and reached out to grab him. Cody bolted, the adrenaline kicking in, but it didn't kick in fast enough. Aiden grabbed a hold of his backpack, and that was enough. Not only was Cody introduced to Mr. Piney for his second appointment, but Aiden's repeated knee strikes kept him in the coniferous tomb. The entire time, Cody balled up and closed his eyes. He could hear Aiden's words of anger, a more vicious tone of voice than he had heard from the bully before. After a few seconds, he could no longer smell the pine, and it was replaced by another smell. He tried to place it. It smelled like when his grandfather would light his pipe. The sulfur from the matches! Cody forced himself to open his eyes to make sure that Aiden wasn't trying to burn the tree down with him inside, but what he saw was worse. Aiden stood up over him, his red hair raised around his head, waving in a secret breeze only they knew about. They danced around his flames. His eyes were glowing. The blue was gone from them, replaced with a deep red, like lava pouring from the ground. He was even more intimidating now. "Aiden, please, I made a mistake," Cody said. "Being born?" Aiden said and decked him. He crumpled under the punch and laid there so long that Aiden went into the school. Cody didn't even try to make it in there today. He hobbled home, defeated. He just wanted to crawl into his closet and die. He would settle for laying under the covers and sleeping until the aches went away. Later that day, Abby entered his room. "Hey, kiddo, that bully give you any trouble?" she asked and then saw the state of him. "What happened?" "I stood up to him because you said he was a coward and he beat the crap out of me. It was the worst," Cody said, fighting back tears. "That's it. I'll take care of this," Abby said angrily. "No, you promised not to tell anyone." "Tell me what happened. Don't leave anything out," Abby said, getting comfortable. Cody told her the whole story, his plan, the encounter, the way he looked. At first, Abby thought he was being a little dramatic. But when Cody explained how his hair and eyes looked, she got concerned. "Hang here one second. I have to grab something quick," she said and darted out of his room. He wondered where she thought he was going to go. He heard all over. She returned a moment later with a book in her arms. It looked old and kind of spooky. She had a lot of those kinds of books that her and her friends would read while lighting candles and stuff. He didn't much pay attention to it. The title was "The Elemental Influences in Modern Life." "Here, look," she said, flipping to a page. It showed a person made of fire and said "Fire Elemental Kin" on it. "What is that?" he asked. "You see, before people, there were only the elementals. They roamed the world, warred with each other, much like humans, I guess. Anyway, when humans came around, they warred with us instead. Eventually, they were defeated and were imprisoned in the elements they represented. Fire, earth, water, and air. Somewhere, the human and elemental bloodlines crossed, and now there are some humans with elemental blood." "I think that's what Aiden is," Abby explained. "According to this book, most people have at least some elemental blood in them. I don't, but maybe you do." "What? Are you crazy? I don't have fire hair," Cody responded. "No, but you have other traits. Let's see. You were born in January, so you're a Capricorn and Earth sign. You're pretty thoughtful. Remember Mom's birthday when you got her that painting at the swap meet of her favorite flowers? That's also contributed to Earth. Let me make some calls, and we can do a little ritual to find out how to unlock it, Abby said excitedly and ran out of the room. An hour later, Cody sat inside a circle on the floor, candles lit around him. Four of Abby's friends, who also wear black, sat around him. They were reading something together, their voices as one. He couldn't make out any of the words. Just when he began to get bored and was going to go back to his room, something changed. He felt it and looked around, but he didn't see anything amiss. A calming sensation flowed into his body from the floor and made its way over him, until he was wrapped in it like a giant blanket. A patience of the ages took over him, and he no longer wanted to go back to his room so badly. The next morning, Cody prepared for school and left the house the same way he had done for a long time, but this time, gone was the apprehension about the day. Inside, he was still, like the mountain facing the wind and rain. Cody didn't hesitate as he crossed the street to the school and walked to the tree. He stopped there and looked at it, waiting. "Look who it is here," came a snarl from the tree. "I don't think I've paid you back enough for the nard shot," Aiden stepped from behind the tree, much like he did the day before. He took a few steps towards Cody. "What's different about you? You're not so trembly," the bully said, and turned his head sideways like a dog when it's thinking hard. "I am not scared of you anymore," Cody said, and concentrated on the words and images his sister taught him to keep in his mind. Mountains defying the weather, the Rock of Gibraltar, mesas in the west, large, sturdy, unwavering redwoods. A little ace up his sleeve if he needed it, she called it, in case his aura wasn't enough. He had no idea what she meant by that, but it soothed him. "You should be. Your face hurt my knee yesterday. Now my fists want an apology," Aiden said, with a flash of fire in his eyes. "I know what you are, Aiden. Even your name means fiery one. I know your true self." "Do you?" Cody asked. "Let my fists answer that." And with that, he swung at Cody. "Lapis," Cody said just before the fist struck him. It hit him square in the jaw, but the strike didn't budge him. In fact, it was Aiden that cried out. "My fist! What the hell?" the angry bully said and held it up. His hand was twisted a bit. "Why is your face so hard?" Aiden said and swung again. This time a body blow landed on Cody, much to the same effect. "Just stop, Aiden, before you hurt yourself more. Let the anger burn out before it consumes you," came a voice from behind Cody. His sister was there to check on him. He just stood his ground with the magic trigger words in his head. "Stay out of this. This is between Cody and I," Aiden said, his hair waving erratically around him. With a yell, he kicked Cody in the leg as hard as he could to try to drop him to the ground. An audible snap was heard, and Aiden was the one who dropped, clutching his ankle.
I think it's broken."
"Serves you right, you little turd," Abby said and winked at Cody, who still stood there, still as could be. "Will you give up this nonsense, Aiden?" Cody asked, walking over to the bully on the ground. "Will you give up on bullying?"
Yeah, you won, okay? You kicked my ass," Aiden said as a crowd started to gather.
"Cody did nothing. Your anger did all of this. You did this to yourself," Abby said. Cody looked down on his bully, now almost in tears and holding his broken ankle. "Come on, let's get you to the nurse," Cody said and held out a hand. Aiden reluctantly grabbed it and was shocked to find the anger inside him leaving. He hadn't felt like this in years. It was as if a great weight was lifted from his shoulders. He looked Cody in the eyes as he got to his feet and saw something there. He never noticed it before. A peacefulness he couldn't explain. He no longer wanted to hurt Cody. He wanted him around. He wanted to feel this way for as long as he could. Later that night, Cody and Abby recalled the events of the day. She explained that now he had unlocked his potential. He would affect others around him, some more than others depending on their susceptibility. Even Abby could feel the calmness in him. His mother popped in his room just before bedtime.
"Cody, Mrs. Fitzgerald called.
She wanted to know if it was okay to ask you to have a sleepover at her son Aiden's this weekend. How come you haven't told us about your friend? She asked. We just became friends, Cody said, looking at the faded scratches on his arms. They were all but gone now. Well, you must have made an impression. He said you saved him when he hurt his ankle. He couldn't stop saying nice things about you, his mother said. A moment passed. What should I tell her? I have to call her back. Tell her I said... I wouldn't miss it, Cody said and smiled. A friend. He made a friend. He never thought, in a million years, he would make a friend out of Aiden. He smiled as he rolled over on his bed and went to bed happy for the first time in a very long time. Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed that story of fear, terror, and facing your destiny as much as I did. And if you love the terrifying work of Joe Salmo and his friends, be sure to check out Penned in Blood, Volumes 1 and 2 on Amazon. And be aware, Penned in Blood Volume 3 is coming sooner than you think. Over on Patreon, we just published the latest bonus episode of Weekly Spooky. It's called The State of Nature, and it's a whole new twist on the zombie apocalypse. And you can listen to it today for just a $1 a month commitment, or you can pay by the year if you prefer. So please consider going to weeklyspooky.com and clicking on Patreon. It's the best way to support us and guarantee that we bring you your spooky on the weekly. And speaking of Patreon, I want to say a very big, heartfelt thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little extra to hear their names on the show. Christopher Sullivan, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all so much for allowing me to do over 140 episodes of this show to bring you a little bit of terror, as well as some smiles and joy. Because we all need a little bit of that in our week. No doubt about it. Well, my friends, time is up for this week, but we'll be back next Wednesday, bringing you the start of a brand new mini-series. And I promise you, it will not disappoint. But until next time, for our executive producer, Rob Fields, our producer, Dan Wilder, and my composer, Ray Mattis, I look forward to scaring you and talking to you next week.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.